buff kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I just didn't like how this felt when I played Priest. I tried it once or twice. This is Hearthstone Meta Hype. I am Ecor 100 with my friend Venga. How's it going, Venga Dragon?
I am great. I'm chilling out. I'm so happy to be here and hyped up. What's up? Let's do this.
Yeah, I am excited. And it's good to hear that you're doing well. I'm doing pretty well myself. I'm ready to talk about some... And actually, a topic that somebody sent me over my YouTube channel, actually. Someone was like, what do you think are cards that... Blizzard got wrong, put in the wrong class, and I thought that was a pretty interesting idea to run with. So I looked at some of the classes, and I feel like I came up with some interesting ideas.
Yeah, well, I agree. I have a for my segment as well. I have something that was a viewer question, and they said you just got to talk about the nerfs. So we'll talk about that over on mine when we're done here. But what's the first card that you got going on, man?
So the first card is Shard Shatter Mystic, and this was actually a card that obviously Blizzard ended up nerfing a while back, and this actually goes in conjunction with another card, so I'll basically talk about both of them at the same time, and it's Warlock's Soul Fragment card. It is called the Shadowlight Scholar, and for those of you who don't know what the Shadowlight Scholar does, because it's a card that's played a lot less, it's a 3-mana 3/4 that destroys a Soul Fragment in your deck to deal 3 damage, and the Shard Shatter Mystic... destroys a mana crystal and does 3 damage to all of their minions. So the thing was, for me personally, is if I was playing as a Soul Demon Hunter, I feel like even with this being at 4 mana, it still feels weird for a deck like that to have such a consistent good board wipe, and for a Warlock to have a 3/4 that does damage to the opponent. So I've actually... always felt that those two cards should have switched. One should have been in the one that does 3 damage should have been in Demon Hunter, and the one that did the AoE should have been in Warlock. And it's just something that I've always thought would have made more sense, because Soul Demon Hunter is more of like a mid-range deck that's built for damage.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at something like Enhancement Shaman, the one with Doomhammer and stuff that get like pumps up their weapon and slams damage into their face, that deck doesn't have any actual removal.
Yeah,
that deck has just a couple of single target removal cards like Blade Dance and your weapon and whatnot, and that's about it. It does have Dunk Tank now, which didn't exist when Shard Shatter Mystic came out. Which Dunk Tank does 4 damage to the hero and then 2 damage to all minions. So like, yes, this has some board wipe, but it's not the same thing. Like, that one still does face damage, and its main purpose is to do face damage. Shard Shatter Mystic just felt like a board wipe first that made the deck not lose to aggro.
Yeah, well, to address that, I mean, it's funny you point that out. You're exactly right. I mean, it's like almost like, yep, you're right, let's move on. But we can't, because you're exactly right. And the reasons why you're right is because it's basically about class identity. I feel like you have a situation where exactly it, Shadowlight Scholar fits much better into the way that Demon Hunter wins. It continually will put pressure on the opponent. It can clear minions. It can go face. Whereas the Warlock class is more about like Gul'dan's destruction of everything that's on the board, itself included. Yeah. You know, so it's like kind of if you have like Twisting Nether is basically a perfect example of that, and it's based on the archetype. It feels like that our buddies over at Blizzard kind of have lost the identity of the class. So yeah, I have to agree with you.
Well, with that one card specifically, I think when I was looking at this, I actually thought, wait, Blizzard actually has a lot of these cards, right? It's hard to find a card that really doesn't fit very well.
Yeah.
Because I actually think that they have their class identities pretty much down.
Well, okay, so let me ask you, we won't worry about the other ones, because I do sort of agree with you on the other classes, but what's the identity of Soul, of Demon Hunter?
Demon Hunter, to me, is a class that is like a double-edged sword. It's a class that is can be very, very aggressive, but also the main way to clear minions has to do with you hitting them, right? It has to do with you hitting them with your weapon, or I guess Blade Dance, which has synergy with your hero's attack. Shard Shatter and Mystic just seemed like a card out of nowhere that was just a good removal. Chaos Nova is also similar, I guess, and so is Emolition Aura, so I guess it kind of makes sense, because, like, at least the board wipe does damage to your own minions too, but it's a deck that really relies on sacrificing something, usually being health, or your own minions, in order to remove the other minions, which is similar to Warlock, but it's just like a much more aggressive style of that, yeah. Because you have attack that can go face.
Well, it's interesting, like you said, the word sacrifice, and we could talk about like that as part of the identity. When you have the weapon, when you use, say, Blade Dance, it doesn't mm-hmm. it doesn't get sacrificed. It just remains there. Demon Hunter has a lot of.
I still have a problem with Blade Dance. Okay, even though it's played less, I still have a problem with that card. I think it's really, really strong, and we'll see more play in a little bit, probably as the meta slows down and Demon Hunter needs to deal with big minions again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Blade Dance fits, but I think it's just a bad card.
Yeah,
but that wasn't what we were arguing here. We were arguing like what cards don't fit in that class. Blade Dance does fit. It just I don't like the design or like the power level of it personally. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the next card, just to move things along, is Blood Herald, and it is a card. It's a 5-mana 1/1. When a friendly minion dies while this is in your hand, gain +1/+1. And the main reason why I don't think this card fits in Hunter, I think it fits in Demon Hunter a little bit more, because there are a lot of tokens and stuff in Demon Hunter, is because Normal Hunter only has a couple of things that creates a lot of minions, as Swarm of Locusts and Unleash the Hounds. And nobody really goes a token build of Hunter. People have tried to go Quest before, but this really would never have fit in Quest. And I feel like somehow they could have swung this to maybe fit more for Druid or Warlock, which is known for Zoo, which does go wide, does just produce endless amounts of minion with a lot of draw, or Druid, which has token Druid and then Soul of the Forest to resummon your minions, which then gives them more minions that could die to pump up the Blood Herald. Also, I kind of just think Blood Herald's a bad card, but I also think that yeah, I feel like it could have fit in like a token Demon Hunter or a Zoo Warlock better than a Hunter. Because Hunter doesn't rely only on minions like Druid and Warlock would. Hunter has weapons that they could use to attack, and the hero power that they can constantly use to deal damage, which means that they're not relying as much on minions. Demon Hunter is similar, but it does rely more on minions, or at least like building a wide board really quickly, whereas Hunter, it's just not the same. I just didn't really like it in Hunter, and if I see this card played on like the 2 or 3 times since its release that I've seen it played, all 3 times it's been in Demon Hunter, because it just doesn't really fit in Normal Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the card, and we're talking about Blood Herald here. I mean, it looks as a card that it's probably not played a lot, but there's better synergies in Demon Hunter, and then this card actually I think would work as well in Quest Hunter though too,
that's what I was saying. Quest Hunter, it can work,
yeah, like you have a 7-mana that's the 7-mana spell that summons all of the minions with rush.
They're I think it's dying. 6.
It could be
6-mana.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, they have that and Unleash the Hound. So they have a couple of things that generate tokens, but Druid and Zulok, I feel like, are more well known for that, like, style of
yeah.
Like, of deck, just going wide and building tons and tons of tokens. Whereas Hunter is known as a couple of minions with beasts and then doing a ton of damage from hand and with your hero power and weapons. It just didn't really click with me, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. And the card that I was talking about, you're right, is 6-mana. It's Swarm of Locusts. Summon 7/1/1 Locusts with Rush. The card that comes to mind, though, with the Demon Hunter is the one that where the minions will come back if all of them die as well, too. So you could really put a big board out there. But yeah, I agree with
that
you.
That card's called Expendable Reformers. Yeah. The one that we're talking about, the 7-mana one for Demon Hunter.
And see, the thing is funny about Ikor is that he said that we were arguing, and I'm agreeing with him on everything. It's just the
No, we're not. I guess it was discussing.
He's
arguing just, with Blizzard.
You think, I'm just letting the audience know. Here's the deal, right? Between segments, right? Ikor and I like really get heated and arguing stuff. You should see what happens. We're gonna one day actually
fists
put that
fly.
Up.
You know? Hit each other. We punch each other.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, what the
yelling, mayhem. Screaming matches.
Yeah, Ikor he pounds his fists, he cursing and all that kind of stuff. But
it's true.
Well, let's get to the next card, but we might as well. What's the next one?
The next card is a priest card, and it's Grand Mummy. It's a 2-mana 1/2 reborn with a death rattle that gives a minion +1/+1. And I never really liked this card or felt like it fit. And I can kind of combine this with the Dragon Maw Overseer. And then you return and give a minion +2/+2. They just never felt like good cards that really fit here. The Overseer fits a little bit more, but the Grand Mummy, I don't know. That one kind of just never felt that good to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know how to describe it other than the fact that, like, Priest isn't this sort of, like, tempo deck with small little pumps like this. I mean, it does have pumps, but the reason why I think the Dragon Maw Overseer fits better is because it pumps more, it can continually pump, and it just feels like it fits better in a more tempo priest deck, whereas, what's it called, the Grand Mummy just doesn't. It feels too weak.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just I think that it's too weak and it fits well. It just doesn't, it's not strong enough to fit in the archetype it's supposed to go into. So maybe my thought process is more of just like a, it needs a little bit of a buff kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I just didn't like how this felt when I played Priest. I tried it once or twice and I was like, it doesn't fit in a deck like this. But maybe Tempo Priest just needs a little bit more love. And with a little bit more love, this card will fit. It just doesn't seem like it quite gets there. You know, it's like
I do
80% of the way there and it kind of fits, but like it falls a little bit short in my eyes.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is when I remember when originally that card came out, the Overseer, I was talking about, not Grand Mummy, but when it first came out, I remember saying that the dream you have, the dream is you really want to play that card and then buff it up against, if you look at it, the way they have it it's. Is it 3-mana? Is Overseer?
It's 2.
It's a 2-mana.
Oh, the Overseer is 3.
Yeah,
this one's 2.
So the Overseer is 3. So you want to put down something with like big health on turn 2. And I can't remember what card it was, but it's in the deck. And then you want to then buff it up and then just like completely like just start like punishing your opponent. But it never really got the support of other cards.
Yeah, that's probably it. You know? The higher health early on. Because like Priest doesn't have that many one drops, right? Like Priest has not many one drops that do a lot of stuff. They do have Frazzled Freshman now, but people don't really play that either. I feel like at 2-mana, this pump isn't very good. I feel like there are other like minions that you could play turn 2, and turn 3 is when like these pumps would really start coming out. I don't know. I just felt like it never really fit. Maybe it was the timing of the card and the mana and the stat line. The ability kind of makes sense. It just felt just a little bit off to me personally.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was going to go on to the last one real quick because we are running a little bit short on time.
Yep.
And the last one is Stagehand for Warrior. It's a 2-mana, 3/2 mech that says Battlecry, give a random minion in your hand +1/+1. And I do think that it fits moderately well. I just think that this card is just one of those filler cards. They're like, shoot, we've got nothing really for Warrior. Let's just kind of throw in a mech because we're making new mech synergies. I think this and Bumper Car were the only two like Warrior mechs. And Bumper Car is a 2-mana 1/3 rush mech that adds 2 rush minions to your hand that are 1/1s.
Yeah.
And I think that fits, right? Because Warrior has a lot of rush, just in general. And I liked that card. But when looking at Stagehand, I mean, it kind of, it does fit in Warrior, right? It is a mech and it does some hand buff stuff, but it also feels like a card that was just like thought of at the last minute. Like even the design of it, like just art-wise, well, not art-wise, but like, well, yeah, kind of art-wise. it just feels kind of weird and forced. And the card is just, you know, your typical 2-mana 3/2. That's just a small little pump. And when I was looking at it, I'm like, I've never played this card. I don't really think this card will see play. And if you want to have something like this, they also came out with the Ringmaster's Baton, which is the same mana. It's a weapon, so you can attack immediately. And it pumps 3 minions in your hand, +1/+1, 3 times.
Yeah.
Because you get to hit with it 3 times. I just thought Stagehand was kind of weak, and just one of those filler cards that I never really... Or not never really, I mean, it's only really been out for like 2 months, but just a filler card that I didn't really agree with. I feel like they could have made it a little bit more defensive, maybe like a 2/3 that has taunt or something, or gives a minion taunt. I don't know, something that's kind of defensive that fits into more of control or taunt warrior, but also gets to stay as a mech and just is a little bit more creative, I guess.
Yeah, traditionally, I mean, if you're looking at warrior, a lot of the minions that were in there are kind of high health minions or high attack even. Like, you don't really have, like, why do you need to buff up something in your hand that's by +1/+1? You know what I mean? It doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like,
yeah.
What are you going to run? You're going to run a bunch of neutral cards in there that aren't so good, that are low cost. We look at some of the warrior cards. I mean, what really needs +1/+1, unless you're playing some kind of taunt warrior that you're just looking to get the big minions in there and then just keep buffing those up. I don't know if it really fits into much anything other than just buffing up big minions already. So I think I agree with you. It kind of is out of place, but maybe it's the sign of what's to come in the midi set. Who knows?
Maybe they'll push something more aggressive for Warrior and it will fit a little bit better. Yep. I don't know. The main problem isn't the fact that it didn't fit necessarily. It just felt like a lazy design. Just, you know, your typical 2-mana 3/2, kind of pump some minion in hand, slap mech on there because Warrior needs some mechs for some of their synergy. Yeah. I don't know. It just felt a little off.
Yep.
But anyway, that is it for my segment. I'm excited to start yours. For those of you watching on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. For those of you watching everywhere else, don't forget to come back for all the other segments that we do. And I'll see you next time.
But the only problem with Rogue was Edwin.
That's
right?
Not true.
It was the only problem.
I'm pretty sure that when we were talking about it, we said Edwin was a problem.
Ecor. Edwin was the only problem with Rogue. Don't you understand that? And welcome to the segment 2 of the Hearthstone Meta Hype. Now I'm here with Ecor, and we are doing this on Wednesday night. I hope everybody's doing well. We're going to talk about a couple of things. We were talking about a lot of cool stuff on the first segment, so you could go and check that out on Ecor's, as well as you can also check out both of us streaming on YouTube. We both stream like 5 nights a week. We're everywhere. We're doing it, so thanks for being here. Ecor, what's going on?
Nothing much, you know, just typical school stuff, tired because school has started again and streaming Hearthstone. But I'm excited to get the second segment underway.
Yeah, so I'm totally with you, man. I've been tired too. I'm just on lockdown tired. But the good news is that I scored some Brewdog Punk, which has the lockdown lager, and I was able to have a couple of cans of that, so I'm feeling good. The first thing that we want to talk about today is the nerfs. And that's what really, because we had a viewer question that said, hey, you know, talk about the nerfs. We want to hear what you guys think. Done that before, but the nerfs, man, you know, Edwin, finally nerfed. But the thing was about Edwin is that I believe that there was also some kind of Twitter thing that said that Edwin is going to the Hall of Fame, which then the Hall of Fame is going to be non-existent. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so this is all just a lot. I mean, okay, so first of all, the Edwin nerf itself, I thought it was fine. Not a real fan of it. I feel like there are more problematic cards. But okay, he's been nerfed. Now let's talk about the Hall of Fame. I don't know what's going to go on with that, because they're going to basically say that they're going to revert the Edwin changes back when it goes to the Hall of Fame. And the way Hall of Fame is going to work now is probably just... It's going to be similar in practice, but it's not going to be called the same thing. Like, I think it's still going to be, like, a card is going to be moved to Wild, but I watched a video on Regis Kilbin's channel, and he was talking about how it would be more of, like, a cycling, rotating, core common set, and I feel like that's the kind of thing that's going to happen with this Hall of Fame, and Edwin's going to cycle out for a bit, but depending on what ends up happening, new cards like Edwin might be cycled back in, and other cards that are broken at the time might be cycled out a little bit more, like... consistently. I'm not actually sure what's going to happen with this, though. I am excited to see what Hearthstone does with it, but that's the first idea that Regis had, and I was like, that makes sense. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Well, one of the things, like, is firstly, like, the card Edwin Van Cleef is part of the classic set, and those for the beginning players or whatever, but everybody knows Edwin, right? So it went from the 3 mana to 4, mm-hmm. is basically... pretty much just, hey, we nerfed the card, we listened, let's move on now. And then they did give the clamoring about, hey, it's going to go to the Hall of Fame, and the Hall of Fame is going to change. Now, my thoughts on the changing of the Hall of Fame is, if you look at, let's compare it to, say, baseball, right? Might as well. I'm a baseball fan, and there is a Hall of Fame in baseball. Mm-hmm. What happens when they're when a person goes into the Hall of Fame, they no longer are playing. That means they've retired from the game. Mm-hmm. And perhaps that Hearthstone is going to fall in the same suit of that, so that they can Hall of Fame certain cards, right? They'll change the way that the Hall of Fame works. Like, so cards like Edwin's will still be played in Wild. However, there are problematic cards. Maybe this is their answer to helping Wild get a little bit more balanced by really Hall of Faming cards, meaning they just
not being played at all in any format.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And they become more of like what the Hall of Fame is in baseball is just like, if you've ever been to Cooperstown, the Hall of Fame has like trophies and it has pictures of the people. So it becomes part of your collector's set rather than actually a playable card. Rather than just get rid of it, you can't play it. You know, it becomes more monumentalized. Now, here's the reason why I think that's the case is because I kind of felt that was it was. When I first started playing Hearthstone, I was like, hey, it went to the Hall of Fame. I didn't realize you could still play it.
In Wild. Yeah. It would go to the Hall of Fame. At first, I was the same way because I don't really play Wild that much. And then I started playing a little bit of Wild because some people told me to, and I watched some Wild content because I think that some of the cool, like, meme decks there are fun. And I was like, wait a minute, some of these cards still exist.
Right. So, like, the first card that I remember ever getting Hall of Fame was Azure Drake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, why did they take my favorite card out of the game? Like it was one of my favorite cards.
I was sad to see it go, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, great card, Azure Drake, old school.
Very powerful. I mean, it kind of deserved to be Hall of Famed at the time, but now with power creep, I feel like it doesn't really, but that's not important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it could definitely come back in and sort of, you know, and play like a good playable card. Yeah. But yeah, definitely it got a Hall of Fame. But so I remember like I didn't dust it, didn't whatever. I'm like, yeah, I want to keep it. And it's one of the few cards that I've kept from that have been Hall of Fame. I still have my copies for like the memorialization because I really love the card. And so I think that that's where the Hall of Fame is going to go, in the sense that I think they're going to do the memorialization of the cards. And I think that they'll make another thing where when a card gets sent to, say, not necessarily to the Hall of Fame, and maybe some other thing. I don't know. Not the old timers game, you know, like in baseball where they come back and they play when they're in their 60s. Nobody wants to see that.
Well,
what we want to see is,
you know, that would be kind of funny.
They're just not the cards. Instead of like Edwin being like a 3 mana 2/2 game +2/+2.
Make them really bad versions of what they used to be. Like, yeah, old. Like he's a 5 mana 1/1 combo game +2/+2 or something like that.
Yeah, or comes back plus one, plus one. It's not quite what it used to be, but it's still got the name, right? So on to the next the card that we have here. This is interesting. I remember when I first saw it, and a lot of players, when they were coming to my stream and they were chilling out, they were talking about Bogspine Knuckles. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you think that the Bogspine Knuckles nerf is enough? And I was like, interesting. At first glance, I was like, no. But I want to hear your thoughts on it, Ikor, because you would probably say what I was going to say. But what are your thoughts on the Bogspine Knuckles?
I think the Bogspine Knuckles nerf was pretty much exactly what it needed to be. Overall, like I said, you'll probably equip this weapon 2 times in any given Evolve Shaman game. So overall, the total damage has been nerfed by 4 because you'll attack 4 times. It can't trade up into minions as easily, so sometimes you have to trade with your minions a little bit more. And the big thing is the turn 5 play with Dread Corsair, sometimes even 2 Dread Corsairs, can't happen anymore because Dread Corsair on turn 5 will cost 1. You can still Lightning Bloom stuff out, but in order to get this stuff to actually happen, you have to use Lightning Bloom, or I guess the coin, which is still a little bit, slow to get out.
Yep.
I think that this is exactly what Evolve Shaman needed. I think it still remains an extremely powerful class, but it's a little bit weaker in that mid-game when you first play the weapon, which means that it has 1 more turn where it's vulnerable to an aggro deck, which means aggro decks like Zoo Warlock, like aggro Demon Hunter, like Hunter, like the other more aggressive shamans, like Enhancement Shaman with the Doomhammer build and whatnot. Those decks can all have a little bit more time to kill them. And slower decks won't get blown out as fast on turn 5 by allowing him to get the weapon and then immediately transform his minion that turn. And all of these things combined, I think, make it to the fact that it was just a little, like, a ton of little small things here and there. A 1 less trade this weapon can do there. A few less damage that could have gotten you lethal there. 1 less minion on this turn over there, and all those things combined, I think, make the deck a lot weaker. But since the weapon still has the same ability, it's the same cost, it still has the same identity as a deck. I like the nerf a lot, personally.
Yeah, and I remember this was one of the ones that you had mentioned. You said maybe it would go to a 5 mana 3/2.
Yeah, for the Dread Corsair and reducing damage. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember you said that. I was just going nuts. I was feeling bored, so I said 7 mana.
Oh,
and
I remember
crazy
when you said that. Yeah. I was like, nerfing it by 2 mana? You really think it's that big of a problem?
Yeah, it's for the audience to determine whether or not the things I say are just for the sake of controversy or actually I believe this stuff. Sometimes I do believe my own hype, but be honest with you guys, a lot of times I'm just trying to make people go get mad. I was completely wrong there. I did. I thought that it was more likely to go to a 6 mana 4/2, but that wouldn't have solved the problem with the Dread Corsair.
Well, yeah. Okay.
And I was just going to say though, after that, I didn't realize that how much that really was a factor, and how well that the going from a 5 mana 3/2, a 5 mana 4/2 to a 5 mana 3/2 really made a big difference, because it is a 4 mana card that suddenly becomes a 5 mana minion with 1 swing of Bogspine Knuckles, and that adds a lot of tempo. So that's good. It was a really good
one thing about the 6 mana is if it became 6 mana, usually the turn 6 from the Knuckles is then playing a couple of minions and getting your first big evolve turn, right? Turn 5 is a little bit of setup, a little bit of extra tempo. It's pretty good. It's very strong. But if they made it 6 mana and you weren't able to get minions on the board to evolve until turn 7, I feel like that would have slowed it down too much. It would be too vulnerable.
It was a very hard card to really balance and put in there and change.
I think Blizzard I think they did well on this bug.
They did. And the reason in the game is the dev comment was we're lowering the attack of Bogspine Knuckles in order to cut into the fluidity of Evolve Shaman, increasing the required investment of playing a 5 mana weapon without a free dead Corsair and reduce the overall damage output the deck is capable of over multiple weapon charges. This change lowers the amount of explosive plays available to the Evolve Shaman and should create an overall healthier meta. And I think it did succeed in that. Now, at this point, we just got a couple of minutes left, and I want to talk about the one card that you thought should have been nerfed but wasn't. What is that, Igor? Anything?
Okay, so I was going to talk about this when we talked about Edwin. I think Edwin, although it was like a nerf that people wanted and stuff, and I kind of wanted it too, I don't think Edwin addresses the problem. The problem, in my opinion, with Rogue and a card that I would have liked to have seen nerfed is either Foxy Fraud or Swindle. But I feel like Swindle's a little bit harder to nerf. But Foxy Fraud, I feel like Swindle's hard to nerf because it's a 2-mana draw 2, which is very strong. But it does require setup. It's kind of like Spectral Sight from Demon Hunter. It can be strong. There's already another 2-mana draw 2 in the game. So, like, I can argue Swindle being viable. But Foxy Fraud is basically a free 3-2 that starts combos. Like, every single time you're going to play with Evil Miscreant or Swindle, turn 2, and you're going to be able to play a 3-2 and draw 2 cards. Or on turn 3, you play a 3-2 and then Evil Miscreant. That gets you 2 lackeys. And I would have liked to see Foxy Fraud nerfed. And the fact that they said they're not going to nerf these because they're important parts. Important piece. This is Blizzard. Foxy Fraud, Swindle, and Prize Plunder are important pieces for future expansion and card interactions. So we'll be keeping tabs on how they perform with the influx of new cards and Edwin nerf. But they said that they didn't really want to nerf these cards because they're going to be important in the future. And a card as powerful as Foxy Fraud being like a core card is very scary, because I feel like that's the card that, or one of the main cards that makes Miracle Rogue so strong. I also don't like Secret Passage, yeah, but it was already nerfed once, and I've talked about this on my channel, but Foxy Fraud is the big one. It should be a 2-mana that reduces the cost by 1, so it at least costs a mana to play cards like Swindle, or Evil Miscreant, or it should be a 3-mana that reduces by 2, because it's also a 2-mana card, which Rogue historically doesn't really have. Like, that's why their hero power is better than most others, and you weapon on turn 2. The fact that you're able to actually have a good turn 2 play now that is a 3-2 draw 2 cards with Foxy Fraud Swindle is just very scary. And with new cards coming out, because they said that they're going to try to make more things in the future that will revolve around these cards, it's just going to get even more powerful. And I feel like it just will make Rogue hard to balance in the future.
Yeah, I would agree with you completely on the Foxy Fraud thing. I mean, and that was the card I was thinking that should have been talked about. Yeah. But one of the things is, though, it's only going to be really affecting Evil Miscreant for the next, say, what, 30 days or something? Because when does the new expansion come out?
Probably in April. That's usually when they come out. April, so it might come out a little bit earlier.
It's not 30 days.
I think this last.
I meant 60 days. 60 days, yeah. So the Rise of Shadows, which Evil Miscreant is part of, will rotate out of standard. So,
but all they have to do is come out with a couple more 2-cost and 3-cost combos, maybe just 1 or 2 more of each of those, and Foxy Fraud is going to be ridiculously strong still. Like, I don't know, the problem is maybe a 3-mana that reduces by 2, so Rogue is a little bit more vulnerable early game. Because I don't know.
Yeah, but the only problem with Rogue was Edwin.
That's
right?
Not true. It was the only problem. I'm pretty sure that when we were talking about it, we said Edwin was
Igor,
a problem.
If you go to Edwin was the only problem with Rogue.
You're right. It was the only
problem. Don't you understand that? You see what I'm saying? That's the thing. They did it. Now we could just move on, right? It doesn't matter what they print. They print anything. We got rid of the one problem, guys. Okay, sense sarcasm, everybody. So as we go on, you just got to say, listen, it is a privilege, honor, and to do this show. We really had a lot of really good feedback. We love your questions. You guys have a blast when you listen to it. A lot of things, people coming into our chat. I know both on Ecor and mine, when we stream, people saying they love the Hearthstone meta hype. And the fact is, we love doing it. So, like I always say, every week when we chill out and we're just doing whatever we got to do, there's always one thing I say. You know what that is. Stay hype. We'll see you next week.